You know, we're into our fifth one of our importance of faith that we're talking about. And as I went through this, this was supposed to be last week's message, and then last week was supposed to be this week, but I felt like it was better suited to flip-flop the people. Now, I'm really excited about where we're at today for a couple of reasons. One, it should give us a better look at what faith is. What do we got? Second thing we talk about here is this. It's going to head us into a different area. We're going into Thanksgiving time. We have a lot to be thankful for. But the next 2 weeks, we ain't going to talk about Thanksgiving. The next 2 weeks, we're going to talk about something you don't hear a lot about. And I'm telling you this right here. No, I'm not telling this to scare you. I'm telling this because I want you to be excited about what I'm going to talk about. Because I'm excited. The next 2 weeks, at least the next 2 weeks, I'm talking about a subject that you may sit in church 30 years and never hear anything about. And I'm going to talk to at least the next 2 weeks. I'm talking about a subject called hell. I'm talking about hell for the next 2 weeks. Why? Because it's very real. And folks, I'm here to tell you, the importance of faith is what will keep you from what I'm talking about the next 2 weeks. So it all kind of falls hand in hand as we prepare. And the other reason, as we prepare to go into this, as we call the holiday season, you need to be aware. Folks, we hear about it all the time. You know, we hear about heaven. We hear about heaven. Well, folks, let me tell you something. That sun rises out there, you've got daylight. But guess what? There's an opposite of daylight. It's called dark. The opposite of black is called white. The opposite of big is called small. There is an opposite of heaven. And we're going to spend at least the next 2 weeks, we're going to talk about hell. And we're going to talk about some things about it as we come out of faith into that there. So we're going to try to build on it. And when we talk about faith, we talk about the importance of faith, folks, it's this way. We started this month of October, and I started the importance of faith, an importance of faith series. And we talked the first week, we talked about a pleasing faith. We talked about what is a pleasing faith. A pleasing faith is what brings you salvation. A pleasing faith will bring you serenity, satisfaction, service. That is a pleasing faith to God. All those go together. That's a pleasing faith to God. We also find out that with a pleasing faith, if we have a pleasing faith with God, God will deem us righteous. And then we went from a pleasing faith, we talked about a perfect faith. A perfect faith that kind of scares people. But you know, we're not perfect. No, we're not. But we can have a perfect faith because God was a perfect faith. And when we talk about perfect faith, we're simply talking about a pardoning, penetrating, purifying, and persevering faith is what we're talking about. It's, you know, all that goes together makes a perfect faith. And then third week, we talk about a personal faith. And now we get down to where it's a personal thing, what we do there. Now the personal part is we come to the point that we have to recognize, response. Personal faith will reveal and rebuke what we're doing. It will rebuke us when we're doing the things that is wrong. We don't like to be rebuked. We don't like to think we're doing things wrong. But that's what personal faith will do. I just told you. We're not perfect. Folks, let me tell you something. If you don't face and if you don't feel a little bit of a rebuking faith, then it's time to get on your knees and pray to God because you're not listening to what God's telling you. You're going to be rebuked because we're not perfect. We talk about, besides rebuking, we talk about a requesting, a receiving, and a rejoicing faith. Folks, that is, to me, is the most important thing we talk about in a personal faith is the rejoicing part. I don't care how bad things are. I don't care how tough things be. I don't care what it looks like. If you're not rejoicing today, then you're not having the faith you need because, folks, no matter how bad it is in your life, no matter how bad the situation is, you can rejoice because God is on the throne and God is in your heart. So we need to rejoice. We need to have that good time. Last week we talked about going out and performing faith. We talked about that last week, going out and having a performance faith. Let people know that this is what we do. Let people see what happens. And today we're going into the last one, which is a prized faith. And when you talk about a prized faith, you know, how many people have heard
forsake all, I trust him. We've heard that about faith. We've heard that all the time about faith. Well, folks, I'm here to tell you right now, it's this way. It's called freedom, assurance, involvement, triumph, and heaven. That's what faith is. That's how we look at faith. And we're going to talk about that today. You know, we're going to look at some of that there. And I'm here to tell you, folks, when you look at what goes on, we have, you know, if you want to have a prized faith, you're going to have a pleasing faith. You're going to have a perfect faith. You're going to have a personal faith. If you're going to have a prized faith, then you're going to go out and have a performing faith, because you want to please God is what it boils down to. And the importance of faith is our faith is to please God. And when we get that in our head and we quit trying to worry about pleasing everybody else, then we will sit back and say, man, why haven't I done this before? Folks, you can look around right now. You can look at the people in front of you, beside you, behind you, across the aisle from you. The person you're looking at will have zero input on what your faith does for you when you stand before God. It's just what you know. And it's time that we take the faith that we're talking about and we do it for God. So take your Bibles, turn to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, we'll read 15 verses. So hold on to your city of riches. We're going to be here a minute. Bible says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him, that beget, loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that God, we love the children. We know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Again, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in the earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he has testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. Again, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. These things, he that hath the Son hath life, he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things I have written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for the importance of faith that we have. Lord, I just ask you now that you would just take this message, apply it to our hearts and apply it to our lives, Lord, and we can leave here knowing what the importance of faith means and what it stands for in our life. In Jesus' name, I ask these things today. Amen. I want to go back real quick and look at verse 4. The Bible says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. That is going to be the key to what we talk about today, even though we're going over it. I mean, when you look at here and you see, talk about a prize faith, folks, and you look at what happened, the first prize that you look at when it comes is our faith to be born of the Son of God. And then it talks about that we are, the second prize is we are born to love God. And then we get the third prize we have out of it is we get to love all of God's people.
That's a hard pill to swallow sometimes. Because we get aggravated, we get mad, we get upset. But folks, that's what we are to do. We are to love all of God's people. And basically, the Bible says children is what the Bible says. And the fourth prize is we get to keep His commandments. We get to, you know, we don't have to. But we get to. And there again, it's a mindset we look at that we have. The mindset of all this is, man, we get to do this. You know, it's a whole lot easier if you're out on a job and you understand that I get to go to work every day and I enjoy what I do. Folks, we should enjoy getting to keep the commandments of God. We should enjoy getting to do these things. The fifth prize that we talk about is we overcome the world. Folks, that may be the most important thing we talk about is overcoming the world. We overcome the world. And the thing is, we get to be baptized in the blood of Jesus that we have there. And also in the water of Jesus. Now, you may not realize it, but your body is comprised of nearly 90% water. So if we are baptized in the water of Jesus and we let that happen, then we should be full of the Holy Ghost. We should be full of what's going on. And, you know, when you get down to it, you got three people in heaven. The Bible says there in verse 7, there's three people that's going to testify for you in heaven. It says the Word, it says the Father, and it says the Holy Ghost. It says they're going to do it. You got three people on your side in heaven. That's there with us. You've got three people here on the earth. You've got the Spirit, the Blood, and the water here that's on the earth that's going to do the same thing. You've got a lot of people in your corner. These are the prizes, some of the prizes that you get when you are with God and have faith in God. And I promise you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, they will trump the world every time. They will overcome the world. That's another prize that we have out of this. There's a lot of prizes that we have, folks. Then the last two prizes that you come down to are this. The two most important, in my opinion, of what we've talked about today. You, with the prize faith, you get to spend eternity in heaven. You get to have eternity in heaven. And that is very important if I carry the faith I need to. I know I can spend eternity in heaven. I don't have to worry about what goes on down here. I don't have to worry about the opposite of that I talked about a while ago. I know where I spend eternity. And this is the other part to me that's important. That's what I thought was important. That we fail on this a lot of times right here. But folks, I'm here to tell you right now is this right here. When you get out of bed, anytime you get out, anytime you walk out, you can hold your head high and have confidence because who Jesus Christ is, and you can have all the confidence in your faith that you need to have. We can have faith with confidence. We don't have to walk around like we do as Christians today. Christians walk around like a beaten dog. They walk around with their head down. They're afraid they're going to offend somebody. They're afraid they're going to get upset. Folks, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says if I'm a child of God, I can hold my head high and I can walk down the street and be proud that God is in my heart. I can be proud to know that I'm going to go to heaven. I can be proud to know that I disagree with what the world does out there. It's not arrogance. It's, you know, if we go too far, it can be. But I can be confident. Why can I be confident? Because that Word of God tells me, go back and read Revelations 21 and 22, we win. I can be confident in that. And you know, folks, there's a whole lot that goes into said in life, period. I don't care if you're battling issues right now. I don't care what's going on. It depends on how you attack something mentally is how you can face things that are there. Brother John, we had him on a prayer list. I feel I'm not sure. He's from over Eastern Arkansas. He's a man that my weight meeting in November or in July. Me and one of his church members, really good friends. He didn't live very good. I said, Tommy, what's wrong? He said, Brother John just sent a message. He's got cancer. This is his third time. And I said, well, where's his cancer at? And John's response to that was, it's easier for me to tell you where it's not than where it's at. He's in stage four. It's bad. And he had his checkup last week and come back cancer free, and in his mind, he was confident that God was going to, his faith was confident that God was going to heal him. He was confident that God would overcome it. It doesn't matter what we face in life. If we face our situations with confidence, the Bible tells us God will hear us and then he will. Now understand this. Had John lost his battle with cancer, if that's God's will, guess what? The day he took his last breath, he gets in the presence of God. So John wins no matter what. He can be confident with his faith that he's going to win. And that's what we need to, folks. When we look at the prizes of faith that we have in God, we got to be thankful we have these prizes. Real quick, I'm going to break down each one of these as we look at faith. And we're going to talk about faith a little bit. And the Bible tells us in John 8:36, if the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. There's nothing holding you back. When you look at it and you want to talk about the freedom that we have with faith, the source of freedom, folks, is Jesus. That's the freedom we have. Nothing says it's going to be perfect. Nothing says that it's going to be easy. But you have the freedom of knowing you don't spend eternity in hell. That's the freedom of what's going on in this world. That's the freedom of being released of what's going on out here. Because I know where I spend eternity at. I am. My source is Jesus Christ. He is the one that died on the cross. He is the one that rose from the grave. He is the one that gives me my freedom through faith. The Bible says it's what we're saved by. You're saved by grace through faith. So Jesus Christ is my source. The second thing kind of goes hand in hand with it. You know, you can sit here and be sitting in church today and say, well, I believe in Jesus. That makes me free. No, that's only half of it. You've got to accept Jesus as a thing called salvation. The source of my freedom is Jesus Christ and salvation. I have to accept that salvation. I have to reach out and take it as a gift. But like I just mentioned, it's by grace through faith. God's gracious enough that if we have faith in Him and we believe in Him, He is gracious enough that He will give us that freedom from this world. God will give us the freedom of spending eternity in a place called hell. He says, you can spend eternity with me. That's the freedom that we have. That's our source that we have. You know, and we also have another little piece of that, and it kind of goes hand in hand with the Trinity, because guess what, folks? When Jesus Christ spent 40 days on the earth after he was crucified and he prepared to ascend into heaven, what did he tell him? He said, I will send you a comforter. He will send the Holy Ghost down here. 10 days later, if you'll remember, 10 days later, what happened? In the book of Acts, you go back and read it, and bam, you had a day of Pentecost break out. The Holy Ghost came down. People were filled with God's Spirit, and people think lives changed after that. And we have the same opportunities today. So through the source of my freedom is Jesus. It is salvation. It's the Holy Ghost. That's my sources that I have. And then what we look at it. Not only do I have, but I'm freed from. What is my scope of freedom? You know, we look at the scope of freedom. We look at things. Well, folks, biggest thing is it's real easy. The scope of freedom is we're set free from sin. We're set free from sin. Now, that doesn't mean you can go out and do what you want to do. That doesn't mean you can go out and live a life in sin. That means you're free from it. You're going to mess up. You're going to make mistakes. But you don't have a green light to go do what you want to because you've accepted Jesus Christ. I didn't say that. You're free from going to hell because you've had that in your life. But there's other things that you're free from, folks. And these are real. These are very real. You're free from being depressed because you lived a life of sinfulness. You lived a life of bad things. You're free of that. You're free of this. Understand this. What's the one thing that we have problems with? We have what they call sinful pleasures that we like to get caught up in. Our head gets caught up in stuff, and our head gets in things. They're called sinful pleasures. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. This is what leads to depression. Sinful pleasures only last for a season. After a while, they get what we call old, boring. You know you're wrong. You know it's eating on you. Your conscience is wearing on you. So the sinful pleasures lead to depression and sin. You're free from that.
You're no longer subjected to depression, because if you have accepted Jesus and you go in and you look at the scope of the freedom and you get that freedom of that word called faith, you are set free from all that. You are free to live your life according to God's word with no regrets that we have in life. The other thing we talked about is that we look about as far as the scope of it. One thing we don't talk about a lot, I mentioned that hell, but we don't talk about this a lot, and that's you're free from the scope of a thing called Satan. You're free from that. You're free from the fact that Satan, yes, he's going to come after you. He's always going to. But guess what? I'm not only free today, but I'm free tomorrow, and I'm free the next day, and I'm free on this little word that we do not understand, but it's called forever. We don't know anything about forever, but I'm free from that. I'm free from Satan for that long. I'm free from what goes on. You know, I'm free from, you know, this one is what I can, but I'm free from that, what I call that sizzle. That sizzle, okay? What's my sizzle? Go throw a bacon in a hot pan at home and watch a piece of bacon sizzle and watch how it fries up. That's hell. You want to really get the best, that's the best illustration that I can come up with to describe what hell is. Take a piece of bacon, don't put it in a frying pan, and watch it sizzle, watch it draw up, watch it pop. That is what you're going to see. That bacon is giving you a reminiscence, the best it can, of what it's going to be like when we get there. Our soul is free from that. Our soul is free from all that. Our soul is our freedom. That's your freedom. That's what you are. Your soul is free from the world. That means you have joy in your life. Your soul is excited to have freedom in your life. If we're truly in tune with God, you know, if you're truly where you need to be, you're excited to have God in your life. You're excited to have that going on. That's freedom. Don't worry about what other people think. It's everlasting, folks. The freedom that you have, the freedom you have in called faith, will take you from today till you walk through that gate and meet Jesus Christ. Whether you live long enough to die a natural death on this earth, or whether you are the one that is here when He returns, you get to walk through the gate. As we call the pearly gates of heaven, you walk through. You're free because of your faith. You have freedom for today until that destination is reached. That's the freedom that you have. We talk about is assurance. Assurance. Folks, you have assurance of the heart. Not only do we have that, but if you accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you have the assurance that you've got Jesus, you've got the Holy Ghost, you have a salvation, and you've got the Bible, all that you can put in your heart. You're assured. If they're there, folks, let me tell you something. If they're there, what does the Bible say? Where God is, Satan cannot be. So remember this. When I talk about your heart, I talk about your assurance. If you want your assurance, what's in your heart? What's inside of you? What's in that soul? Because, folks, I'm going to tell you something. It's not empty. It's not blank. Maybe Roger's case, but that's beside the point. But, you know, I'm here to tell you, it's not empty. Your heart and soul, you're either going to be filled up with God or you're going to be filled up with the world. There's no in the middle. You can't walk down the double yellow white line or the double yellow line down the middle of the road and wait and see which side you want to jump to. You know, you got to get on one side or the other. I will challenge you right now. Eddie's going to hate my guts. That's okay. If you don't believe me, go out of the church, start down the country and drive right down that double yellow line and see what happens. See what happens. Eddie stops and gives you a ticket. That's on y'all, not me. But anyhow, you will see people that you're coming at are going to do something. They're going to have to make a decision. That's the same way we do when we're walking down that road with God. You've got to get on one side or the other. Because, folks, I'm going to tell you right now, if you're going that way and you're not on that side of the yellow line, you're in the wrong. If you have an accident and you're going down that double yellow line, you are wrong. Well, I'm here to tell you, if you're walking that double yellow line and God comes back, you are wrong. We are to be on one side or the other. There's no fence when it comes to serving God. So assurance, we had that assurance that we can walk with Him. If we had Jesus in our heart, the world cannot be in our heart. We have a simple thing, and this is really exciting to me when I talk about this. I have a thing called heavenly assurance. You know, we take out assurance to cover our losses.
We take that insurance to cover our automobiles. We take that insurance on this, folks. I'm here to tell you, when you accept Jesus Christ, you've got a permanent insurance policy, and you've got a permanent residence in a place called heaven. It's called the Lamb's Book of Life, is what it's called. Your name is recorded in that Lamb's Book of Life, and you're going to stand before God, and He's going to open that up, and it's going to say, oh, here you are. And if it's not, He's going to look at you, and He's going to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. The best things you can ever hear. You don't want Him to say, depart from me, I knew you not. You don't want that. That's our options. That's what we get when we talk about assurance that we have. That we have that. Assurance. We can have this in heaven. That your heaven is testified. You have the Father. You have the Word. You have the Holy Ghost. They will testify for you. Folks, they are nobody, nowhere that's a better dependent than those three to have on your side. And you know what's a good thing about it? It didn't cost you one penny. All it cost was accepting the gift. The gift cost the life of Jesus. I say it didn't cost you a penny. We'll never be able to repay the cost of what happened. But God doesn't want that. God says, take my gift. Let me give you this gift. And you'll know you'll have a permanent residence in a place called heaven. No better assurance. You're assured of having help. You're assured of help all the time. Jesus will never, I'll say it again, He will never stop loving you. He will never stop helping you. I will promise you that. You hear these new churches and these new people. I'll be nice. And talk about the fact that you know, they're not, God's not going to send you to hell because God loves you. You hear that a lot. And folks, I'm here to tell you, God will not send you to hell because He loves you. He will not. But they chose not to love God. So they chose to put themselves there. There's not a single person today that's in a place called hell that God put in hell. They chose to go to hell. So when they tell me that, that's what I'm looking at. God never stopped helping. God always wanted to help that person. God always loved that person. If there's somebody in hell today, they chose to be there on their own. It had nothing to do with God. Other than the fact that they wouldn't take the assurance of a word called faith. That's what put them there. Matthew 9:37 says, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Matthew 9:37. So more true, gets more and more true every day. More and more true every year. The harvest is plenty, folks. I'm telling you right now, you look around here today, God's blessed us with a good crowd in church today. God's helped us here. You go down the road down here to Brother David and Derek, and then out here shortly when they have it across the street, they'll have their crowds there. God's got the people in the church. God's got them there. You can go down to the neighboring towns, but folks, let me tell you something. There's a whole lot more people driving up down that highway than what's in church this morning. There's a whole lot more people that's sitting at home than what's in church this morning. So when I go back to it, the labor are few, but yet the fields are ripe. The fields are ripe. So the next thing we talk about with faith, we talked about freedom, we talked about assurance, we talked about involvement. Involvement's what we're talking about. You know, have you ever thought about why faith is felt like this? The I is in the middle. The eye's in the middle of faith. Why is it there? Well, when you look at it, and you have your freedom and you have your assurance, and we'll get to the others too here in a minute. The middle of this word is eye. I don't like to talk about eye very often. Eye is something you take away from God if you ain't careful. But folks, let me tell you a little secret. That eye. If I have faith, I must function. Faith is not something, like I told you last week, that you go put on a shelf to collect dust. If you're a faithful person, you got faith in your life, You've got to function for Jesus. You've got to be involved in what God wants. I promise you, you've heard me say it many times over, there's not a single person sitting here today that's a child of God that does not have a calling that God's got in your life. I don't know what it is. That's between you and God. But every person here has been called. And it doesn't matter what it is. I don't care how important you think you are. I don't care how important you think a preacher is. A preacher is no more important than the walk of God, than the person that cleans the church, or the person that cleans the bathroom, or the person that cooks. Everybody has got a part to do to be successful for God. I will promise you, churches do not survive because of who stands behind the pulpit. Churches don't survive because of who stands up and sings. Churches survive because the people out there are the ones that get involved in what's going on. They're the ones that get involved. I will promise you, we had a great turnout last night. It was a wonderful time. I mean, this place, we had people parked out here, they parked over here, parked everywhere. They was everywhere you could imagine last night. That building was full. But it had absolutely nothing to do with the preacher in this church. It had nothing to do with the people. It had something to do with all the people that were involved in making it happen. They were involved in it. Now, you know, you sit back and go, well, that's not a ministry. That is a ministry. That is something that God had. Folks, I'm here to tell you, we could have done that last night. If God had not been in it, there would have been nobody here last night. We'd been sitting around twiddling our thumbs. That's being involved in what goes on. Folks, how many people, when they go to work, and you see somebody get a raise at work, if they get a substantial raise, they act like they won the lottery. Man, they're excited. I can just imagine. I seen last week, I was talking about, at just some case, you know, just a little word. If you want to buy a new car, you better get it pretty quick, by the way. Because I know they said that when they settled, the union auto workers settled with the Ford people, they gave them this year their raise was bigger than they've had the last 25 years put together. So I'm telling you, they got a big raise. I can just imagine they're dancing big time with that. You know, that's what made me think of it. Folks, I'm here to tell you, when you accept Jesus, and you become a Christian, you are, you know, saved by grace through faith, there is not a bigger promotion in the world than being saved by grace through faith. I have just been saved by Jesus. Folks, and guess what that means? I'm going to get involved in what's going on. I want to get involved in what's happening. The Bible says in John 4:23, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. Folks, that means we are to be involved in the worship service. We are to be involved in what's going on. Church is not a place to be a funeral home. Church is not a place to be a morgue. We are to worship God. We are to be excited to come to God's house. We should want to get up and be in God's house. It's okay to clap in God's house. It's okay to sing in God's house. It's okay to do that. You want to get involved in worship, okay? I can't sing. There's other ways to get involved in worship. There's other things that we can do. There's other things that happen, you know, involving different things that we do in worship. But we have to be involved in it. If you're truly a Christian and you truly have faith in God, you want to be involved because you want to help grow God's kingdom. That's what you want to do. It's truly what we talk about. And when you talk about this, folks, when we look at being involved in worship, I'm here to tell you, this is what true worship is going to include. Individual, it's holiness. What is holiness? You've heard that word before. That means you are completely 100% devoted to God. That's truly worshiping God. Not in church service. As an individual, you're 100% devoted to God every day. True worship is going to include heaven. What's the song? Heaven came down and joy filled my soul. How many people didn't feel the joy the day they got saved? How many people didn't have that joy the day they got saved? How many people carry that same joy today? Well, things just didn't go like them. You know, you go back and look, and I see this stuff every now and then. Somebody put on Facebook, and that's what they're saying. 5 years ago, this is what you dreamed of, this is where you'd be in 5 years. 5 years ago, you dreamed of being here 5 years. 5 years ago. Oh, folks, I'm going to tell you something. I don't know very few people that 5 years ago were dreaming you'd be where you're at right now. But we need to do that when it comes to serving God.
We need to sit down and figure out, where am I going to be in 5 years of serving God? Am I going to be where I'm at right now? Am I going to be what I'm doing right now? 5 years, I want to be doing this in 5 years. God, this is where I want to be. You know what God has called you to do. You know what God wants you to do. So in 5 years, you need to be to where God has a plan for you to be. And I promise you, if you're doing things according to God's will, in 5 years, you'll be where you plan to be in 5 years. Maybe you want to be a singer. Maybe you want to be a preacher. Maybe you want to be a teacher. I don't know what it is. But you need to sit down. Wait a minute. That's you know, heaven came down and joy filled my soul. True worship is honor. Always, no matter what, put God first. Put God first. Hey, that's honor. You know, you may be here, you might have been married 6 months, you might be married 6 years, you might be married 56 years. And we are to honor our mates. But folks, I'm here to tell you, your mates, your family, are not the ones that deserve the honor of who gave their life up to God for you to go ahead. We are to honor God in everything we do. Not only do we get involved in worship, this is the one you don't want to talk about. And that is in James 2:7, the Bible says this. Very familiar passage. And you'll know it. Faith without works is dead. So not only do I need to be involved in worship, but I need to be involved in work. If you want to have a prized faith, you've got to be involved in work. I got to work in serving God in whatever that capacity is. That comes back to the talent that God gave you. That comes back to what God's got in store for you. That's the talent that you have. That's got to be involved in serving God. You've got to be involved in working in the church. It's a little thing we call, everyone hates it, but it's called volunteering. Now, the church needs volunteers. The church needs things that happen. The church needs that kind of stuff. We can't do what we did last night without volunteers. We can't do the things we do when we do the youth alive without volunteers. We can't do the things we do. Folks, that's being involved in the church. That's going out and ministering inside the church, doing things inside the church. We have to be involved in that. We've got to be involved in volunteering in the church. It doesn't matter. Cleaning the church. Volunteers that takes care of that. Those things take volunteers. Unfortunately, in case you didn't know, we don't have enough money to go out and hire a cleaning staff to come in and clean this thing top to bottom. It's done by volunteers. So this is all the stuff we have to be involved in. You people sit there and say, well, I just don't know what I can do. We can always volunteer to do something in church. Remember that. That's part of faith. That's part of Christ's faith. That's part of being involved. Then we have to also do this. And this is the last one about it being involved. If, like I told you a while ago, if you have faith, you must be involved. What does that mean? Something up in a nutshell means like this. You got to get involved in witnessing. You got to get involved in telling people about Jesus. I told you earlier, they're not obligated to listen, but you are obligated to tell. And you got to let people know that. You got to testify. And everybody talks about, I told you last week, folks, it's real simple. You have a story. You know what your life changed like. You know what happened in your life. You can testify about what happened in your life. It's not hard to witness. It may sound scary. You may think it's tough. You do it once or twice, it becomes second nature because you're not afraid to tell your story. Because once you start telling your story, you're going to get excited about what God's done in your life. You're going to get excited about remembering what was happening then. And then all of a sudden, it just kind of boils out, and it kind of takes over, and now the excitement's come back. Now you have the joy come back. And why? Because I was involved in a thing called faith that allowed faith to restore my belief and my love for God. We talk about the T we're talking about. It says in Romans 8:37, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. We have triumph. That's what T is, triumph. Folks, the biggest thing is we should have triumph in, and this scares me when I say this because I see a lot of this just opposite of that. We should have triumph in lacking faith. We are trying to over lacking faith. What does lacking faith do? Now listen to me. Lacking faith will cause disappointment. Lacking faith will cause discouragement. And it will cause you to have displeasure in your life. That's what lacking faith will do. You know, I mentioned it last week. Nobody would lack faith. Nobody. If you can have the results first and everything that comes to get results, followed after the results. If you can have the results, you wouldn't lack faith at all. You'd be excited. You'd be great because, man, I know what the results are. Right? Well, guess what? I know what the results are when I read the Bible. I know what they are, so I should not lack faith. I should be excited because in the end, go back and read Revelations chapter 21 and 22, and I promise you there will be a new heaven and there will be a new earth. There will be no more sickness. There will be no more sadness. There will be no more tears. There will be none of that. And that is something to get excited about. All you have to do is have faith. Triumph. Lack of faith will cause us to have the disappointment. How many of us have been disappointed in that time? How many of us have been discouraged because you look around and folks don't sit there and shake your head because we've all been right here in this church. We all fought that. We all went through it. If you've been in church very long, I promise you, you've had battles of discouragement in church somewhere. You've had discouragements that went on in church somewhere because we lack that faith. That faith gets in the way. We get to that point that it causes us to be displeased with what's going on. And then guess what? Churches have blowers. Churches have splits is what they call them. Because people get displeased because they didn't like the color of the carpet or the color of the pews or because the preacher's hair was parted on the wrong side. You know, but people get displeased by that. That's lack of faith. Those are things that mean nothing about your walk with God. But when you lack faith, it's those kind of things that get in the way. That's what it lacking of faith causes. And then you have this other side. Not only is it lacking faith, but now we have this thing called little faith. Now you got some of the little faith, folks. I'll tell you what, little faith will do this. Little faith will give you omnipotent results. A little faith will give you omnipotent results. Think about it. Wait a minute. You just said a little faith. What's that? Well, what does the Bible tell me? I told you last week, what did it say? If ye had the faith of a grain of mustard seed, you could tell that mountain to move and that mountain to be moved. That's a little faith. So if you have a little faith, you're going to get omnipotent results. You're going to get the results, folks, that are outstanding if you have that. If you have a little faith. You can overcome the world with a little faith. If you have a little faith, you will be triumphed because I'm here to tell you, faith will always trump the world. God is greater than anything in this world. Any problem you face. When David went up against Goliath, he was going up against a massive individual. He's going up against this. He didn't worry about how big David was. Didn't worry about how big Goliath was. Why? Because David knew how big his God was. You're sitting here battling problems today. You're sitting here seeing issues today. It shouldn't matter what those problems are because I'm here to tell you right now, God is bigger than any problem you've got in your life right now at this moment. God can overcome those problems. But it's, oh yes, you got two things, little faith and a lack of faith. I'm not telling you that you got to be, nowhere does it tell me that I have to be one, that I have to have all my faith 100%, all this 100% great big faith. The Bible says I have to be 100% committed to God. But it says if I have a little faith, and the Bible tells us the faith of the grain of mustard seed. Now folks, that's a little bit of faith. It doesn't say you've got to have enough faith to conquer the world. All it says, you got to have a little bit of faith, and God will do the rest. God will do the rest. Brings up John 14. Remember to it right quick. John chapter 14, being verses 1 through 4. John 14, verses 1 through 4, the Bible says, now listen, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you unto myself. That where I am, there ye
maybe also.
And whither I go, ye know. The way, ye know.
Where he goes, we know. And the way. That brings us to the last part of faith. It's called heaven. Bible tells us, man, I've gone to prepare a place. Jesus Christ, folks, and I told you this during this time, he's been over 2,000 years preparing us a place. We sit down and think about that. This has got to be a big place. I'll go back and remember what the Bible says. 1,000 years is like a day to God. So God's only been working on this place for 2 days. But also remember, as I say that, God told him the temple would be rebuilt in 3 days. So there's a lot we can look forward to when it comes to heaven. We must, in order to attain heaven, you have to know faith. And when I say that, it's K-N-O-W. You've got to know faith. You have to know that. Knowing faith comes from a few things that we have talked about. Simply put, blood. The atoned blood of Jesus Christ has to come into your life. It has to be applied to your heart. You have to have that blood in you. We talk about the importance of blood in our life. We talk about the importance of blood that we have. Folks, if your blood quits moving, you die. If your blood physically quits moving, you die. If you don't have that blood of Jesus applied to your life, you're spiritually dead. That's faith. You have to be born again. These are simple things we talk about quite a bit. If you're a Christian, these things have applied to your life. You've already had them. We come down to the next one, and this is where it gets tough. Christians struggle with this. So it's not hard for us to understand we have to be blood-toned. It's not hard for me to understand that I have to be born again. But once all this happens, it gets very difficult for me to keep my faith. I struggle with that. We all do. Don't kid yourself for 1 second. If anybody's there to tell you I don't struggle with my faith, then folks, I'm going to tell them I need to know what they're drinking because I sure do. It's difficult. Because why? Because we get ourselves in the way. Ourself gets in the way. We don't do that 100% committed to God, and we end up disappointed. We end up discouraged. We end up dissatisfied because that's not what I wanted. That didn't work out like I wanted it to. That's not what I planned on. That's not the way it was supposed to happen. All of a sudden, self gets in the way. It's hard for us to keep our faith. And I'm just telling you, it's tough. You know, but I'm here to tell you, keeping faith is the thing that will give us the prize in a place called now, there is one good thing about that. The Bible tells me you're going to mess up. The Bible says you're going to screw up. You're not perfect. You're not perfect. So there's a little thing out there that's called repentance. All I got to do is repent and ask God to forgive me. Guess what? I'm made perfect again. I'm cleansed. I'm cleaned up. I'm ready to go to that place called heaven again. I want to encourage you to do that. If you want to keep faith, you want to keep the faith, you've got to repent of what you do wrong. You've got to get that out of your system. Because like I told you earlier, if something's going to fill your system, and you go home, and you go to the kitchen, you've had that water break, and you turn the water on, and it comes out dirty. You're going to have, if you drink that water, you're putting dirty water in your body. Little dirt never hurt nobody, just so you know. Most of you probably ate it like I did growing up. We had a dirt pie, it's probably okay. But you're going to drink, so you're going to fill your body either with clean water or dirty water. Which one are you going to choose? Which one do you want? You know, you're going to choose a clean water. And that's where I go back to it. Why do we do that? Why do we do that in our walk with God? Why do we choose to keep dirty water in our body? Why do we choose to keep the world instead of having God in our life? Instead of good? I'm not going to be perfect. I'm not going to do everything right. I'm going to screw up. I'm going to make mistakes. I will let you down. But God is that clean water. I'm dirty water. God is clean water. That's the one that's going to get you where you need to be. And the only way to do that, put your faith in God. Look at God. Not each other. We can depend on each other. We can help build each other up. But my faith needs to be in God. You know, we sit here and we've talked about each letter of the word faith. We've seen the prizes we get as we look at it. We get prizes for freedom. We get prizes for assurance. Involvement, a lot of prizes in involvement. We triumph. And we have a place called heaven. That seems like a lot. But it's only a drop in the bucket for having faith in Jesus Christ. There's so much more that we can do. So much more we can have. Paul, you're tired of mine. You know, if we lack faith, we miss out on pride. Philippians 3, 13 through 15 says this. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Don't look behind the past. Don't live in the past. We got to look forward. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'm always striving to reach Jesus. Let us therefore, as many be perfect, be thus minded. We're not going to be. But folks, our mind has got to be. We have to be reaching forward. I will promise you this. You go back and live in the past. You go back and look what happened in the past. And you're trying to live back here. It's kind of like going to the Bible. We have an Old Testament. And we have a New Testament. Both very important. But what is it? One is before Christ, and one is after Christ. And that's your life. If you're trying to live in the past, chances are you're trying to live before Christ in your life. And if we're reaching back there, we're bringing in, and if we're not living on faith, we're living on past experiences because there's something there that you won't let go of. There's something there that you won't put back there and believe. And you keep trying to live, and that puts dirty water in your life. Folks, you cannot live back there. What is behind me is not important. It's what God has in store for me is what's important. The importance of prize faith, as it says, is to reach forward and reach that mark. As we get ready to go to a song of invitation, I want you to understand this. Right now, you have a choice to make. First and foremost, if you don't know Jesus Christ as personal and Savior, that's the first choice you've got to make in life. I will promise you this. I don't care how good you are. I don't care how much you've done. I don't care what you've done in your life. If you do not and have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, listen to me. You are going to hell. Period. The Bible says no one comes to the Father except through me. Being great, being good, might get you a brownie point with the people here on earth, but it don't get you anywhere close to heaven. If you're here today and you're a Christian and you're struggling, here's what I'm telling you to do today. As we get ready to pray, we get ready to go to the time. Make up your mind once and for all today to forget about the things in the past, forget about what's happened, and put your faith in what's in front of you called Jesus Christ. Put in what's out in front of you, not what's behind you. Folks, I'm here to tell you today, you've got to press forward. How many people? I'm sure you have. You have seen a thing called a track meet, a racing event. I have never seen an Olympian, anybody in college, anybody in high school, that ever won a race by looking back. Every one of them are looking forward to the prize of the prize. They got a relay race. Go watch them in a relay. The person that's running will look back until they hit a mark and they take off. And all they do is they put their hand back to get what's handed to them. Why is that the case? Because they're advancing that baton forward, not backwards. So what we have to do as Christians is our faith, folks. Our faith cannot advance forward. That baton cannot advance forward if we're constantly worried about what's behind. I will promise you this, when that person's running a race, they can care less what's going on behind them, but they're just worried about what's in front of them. You want to win the race? Keep your eyes on Jesus. Put your eyes on Jesus. Your faith will grow strong, and you will see miraculous things will happen if you put your eyes on Jesus. What does the Bible do? Turn your eyes to Jesus, and wonderful things will happen. Glorious things will happen. As a Christian, are you ready to turn your eyes upon Jesus and forgive about the man? Every head bowed, every eye closed. We have faith. It's called freedom, assurance, involvement. You have triumph, and eventually you'll have heaven. Where are you standing at today? Where do you stand?